Hello, everybody. It's Tiffany Spaulding. I'm your host here at the Life in the Wig podcast. Thanks so much for joining me as we talk about rule number 10 in Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life. Just a quick story. I was on a plane a couple of weeks ago, and the man sitting next to me said, "That has to be the most studied book I've ever seen." And we started talking, and he also was, I turned it over and said, have you read it? And he said, oh, now I understand why it's the most studied book. So yes, he had read it. And our discussion was then about how much it takes to digest the book, like how much there is to digest, right? It's certainly not a simple read by any stretch. And so, which is why this whole podcast exists. So today I'm going to talk about rule number 10, and I have my new big fancy clips in here, hoping that it will help me get from page to page. You can see my giant clips. If you're watching, you may just be listening, I guess. Rule number 10 is be precise in your speech. And like every rule in this book, when you hear that, it seems quite simple, right? Be precise in your speech. But there's so much more to it than that. The chapter is really about being precise in your life. And that starts with speech. What you're saying and what you're thinking and what your aims and goals are. And what Jordan Peterson is trying to get us to understand through this chapter is the more precise you are in your speech, the more precise you will be in everything that you do, which will motivate and inspire you to be more precise in everything that you do. Why is that so important? It's important because being precise in your speech and other things will define what happens in your life, the clarity with which your life moves forward. So I'm just going to flip through here and read a couple of things. When we've been careless and let things slide, what we have refused to attend to gathers itself up, adopts a serpentine form, and strikes, often at the worst possible moment. It is then that we see that focused intent, precision of aim, and careful attention protect us. And that is so true. And it's true about everything, no matter what it is. If you're talking about a relationship, your career, your car, your garden, being precise and taking care of things in a precise manner saves us from all sort of trouble, work, and heartache further down the line, right? We all know that this is true, but sometimes if you just take a step back from what you know is true, and think about and really think about it, as opposed to just knowing something. We talked about that in earlier podcasts. Having that precision is going to make a huge difference in what you do and how it gets done. And it is going to save you a lot of time and energy and heartache. He talks specifically about some relationships in this chapter and how relationships, how we often don't attend to our relationships or the things that we create in our relationships. So, and he uses the term fog. So think about that. Are you creating a fog in your relationship because you don't really want to address the issue at hand, leaving things murky and not precise? And then you don't have to face it, right? That's part of it. Like you can kind of skirt around the issues and not exactly deal with them. And as I read in the previous passage, those little things, those things that you haven't attended to, that you haven't precisely asked for or precisely taken care of, precisely communicated, will come back to bite you. And usually it's in a bigger way. One of the other things that's really interesting in the chapter that he talks about a little bit later is how nothing is really as bad when you are going through it as you thought it was going to be, thinking about getting through it. So just take a moment and think about that in your life. Think about something that you dreaded doing. Maybe it was a conversation with a loved one or a boss or a friend or even some sort of task at home that you had to take care of. And how much dread did you work up lamenting the task and thinking, oh, it's going to be so painful, or it's going to take so much work, or I don't really want to deal with the fallout from that. And then when it was all over, looking back, you're able to say that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was. So a lot of times that is exactly what happens. What we do, like psyching ourselves up for something and thinking how bad it's going to be, is so much worse and drags it out so much longer, which is another topic in this chapter. Just get it done. Just do that painful thing and move through it, and you will feel so much better. Your burdens will be so much lighter. So that precision is not just about speech. This chapter is not just about speech. It's about everything in your life, about being precise in everything, even defining success and failure. So many of us, this is a huge thing, especially now, the way the world is now. If we take the time to define success, then we also are defining failure. And for so many people, that idea of failing has been made, I don't know, see, everybody gets a trophy thing, I guess. It's been made so difficult, right? I always, you know, I've owned a couple of businesses, and one kind of mantra through all of that is success is a bad teacher, right? Success, but failure, you can learn a lot from. And defining what's successful and defining what failure is, even if you fail, even if you don't meet that measure of success that you set for yourself or that you set as your goal, you are going to learn so much that is going to redirect you and move you forward. But you can't have that learning experience. You can't move forward. You can't grow. You can't evolve if you haven't defined success and also defined failure and then been able to say, I failed at this, right? I have failed at more things than I've been successful at. I guess that makes me really, really smart, right? But recognizing those things, those failures and your successes, defining those things, defining failure allows success to happen. Defining success allows you to learn from your failures. And without that, without clearly being precise, you can't have either thing. And that's regardless. Is it a business plan? Is it a relationship? Is it your financial management strategy? It doesn't matter what it is. If you don't define the success and the failure, then you won't, you're just spinning your wheels, right? So being precise, not only, which I thought was really, really important. I never really thought about that when I was reading this. I never thought about defining failure and defining success. Like I'd always set goals, but I hadn't really defined the failure side of it or thought through the failure side of it. So it is a really helpful thing to have that in mind, to understand what that is, what that looks like, so that you can recognize it, which is another theme through the chapter, like being able to recognize when you're wrong, when you haven't been precise, and reconcile that situation is also really, really important. If you take the time to reconcile where you failed at being precise, the chances that whatever it is, and the thing that's the most amazing to me, I'm such a geek about this stuff, I know. The thing that's most amazing to me is this applies to every aspect of your life. Everything that could possibly happen in your life, you can apply these rules to physical, tangible things, your garden, your spirituality, your relationships. Being precise, following all the rules actually, can improve all of those things. He also says, dragons, which do exist, hoard gold. In that collapse into that terrible mess of uncomprehended being lurks the possibility of new and benevolent order. Clarity of thought, courageous clarity of thought, is necessary to call it forth. If you want new, right? If you don't fight off the dragons who are hoarding the gold, you can't have that clarity. I guess that's the same thing as success and failure in that sense. They're the demons in your life, the dragons, if you will, are hoarding up the good stuff. They're keeping you from getting to the good stuff in your life. And until you fight them, until you slay them, if you will, you won't have access to the gold that they're hoarding, whatever that is. I had a really good quote. I don't know if my mom shared it with me or my sister, someone did. And it was, don't just slay your demons, dissect them and see what they're feeding on. And that is so appropriate in this chapter, because if you can confront those demons, if you can be precise, you can look at them and say, what is it? What am I doing that's fueling this demon? And how do I stop feeding it? And precision of speech, precision of thought, precision of aim are all things that are going to take you to that next level in your life with the next thing that you're going to do, the next right thing, the next good thing, the next positive thing in your life. Separating the wheat from the chaff is what precision does. Precision specifies. When something terrible happens, it is precision that separates the unique terrible thing that has actually happened from all the equally terrible things that might have happened but did not. So just because you're precise in your speech doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. We're human, and that's a cost of being, right? Terrible things are going to happen. Jordan Peterson regularly says life is suffering. He's not the only one. It's been a theme forever. But this being able to separate the terrible thing that happened and let go of the worry of the things that didn't happen, all of those things can come to fruition from being precise in your speech, in your thought, in your life, in your plans, in your definition of success. It all spills into one great big pot of precision. Precision may leave the tragedy intact, but it chases away the ghouls and demons. Back to slaying your demons, right? If things are clear, if things are precise, they can't exist because they feed on the unknown. They feed on your fear. They feed on things that may never happen. Courageous and truthful words will render your reality simple, pristine, well-defined, and habitable. Once you have taken ownership of your life will be much more calm and much more pleasant and much more habitable, right? Because you have dealt with these demons. You have dealt with your responsibility. What's your responsibility in how your relationships aren't working or your job's not working or your garden's overgrown? What is your relationship to that? What is your responsibility to that? And this is what this is all about. If you get clear and get precise in what you're doing, then you will easily be able to have a calmer, happier, more fulfilling life. I don't really like the term happiness. I like the term success. Some of you have heard me say this before. Happiness is fleeting. It's a moment of joy sparked by something. But if you're successful, it has a long range benefit. It empowers your confidence. It empowers your clarity. It empowers your motion. Everything can be moved forward by being successful. And when I say success, I know lots of people jump immediately to the financial side of things when they hear the word success, but success isn't finance. I mean, finances are one way to define success. But there are so many different levels of success, right? Your relationships, your financial, not so much financial, how much money you earn, but your financial, how well are you taking care of the money that you do have and managing that money that you do have, taking care of your financial responsibilities, right? Again, another thing we know, when you do that, when you take care of things financially, you pay your bills on time, you don't overspend, you have your little savings account for emergency funds. All of those things bring clarity and success to your financial world, which makes your life easier, right? It's less scary. There's less things that could go wrong. I mean, I remember, and many of you, if you're older, you probably have these same thoughts. I remember when I was, you know, a young adult, late teens, early 20s, if I had blown out a tire on my car or blown up the engine or something major like that had gone sideways, that was a concern for me. I didn't have the money to take on some sort of financial obligation that was bigger than my day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month expenses. Had I had better clarity, maybe I would have skipped out on a few new outfits or some new shoes or a night out with friends to sock a little money away, and I would have had a little bit more peace of mind, right? I wouldn't have had to worry that if something had gone sideways, that I would kind of be drowning in that, right? I'd probably have to use a credit card or, I don't know, maybe do something like write a bad check, all those crazy things that young people do. So the clarity, the precision extends through absolutely everything. You have to consciously define the topic of a conversation, particularly when it was difficult, or it becomes about everything and everything is too much. This is huge. This is, comedians make fun of this all the time, right? How men and women communicate differently and how a woman in particularly will spider web out to make a conversation or an argument or an issue about all these other things other than the issue at hand. And so this is key. In that argument, in that conversation, keeping things focused and staying on track to gain clarity about that one subject, even spelling the subject out before you begin, which we talked about in the last chapter, right? If everybody knows really what the conversation is and everybody tries to stay on track, you will most likely solve the issue, come to some resolution, come to an agreement, be able to work through something without it being any more painful than it has to be. But in the moment that it's undefined, everything is on the table. And we all know that we've thrown in these other things to a conversation. Maybe we started out as a conversation being about the wrong thing and we turned it into another conversation about the right thing. And if you define that right thing, then it's going to help you going through any other conversation, right? It's going to help you get to that point of clarity and get to that point where you recognize what you need to do to make things right, what you can do to make things right. And that means not just for your life, but for the life of other people who might be involved, or maybe just the life of the plants in your garden, right? And that's the thing. I don't know. I keep saying it. Everything can be improved by being precise in what you're doing. You can be more efficient. You can be more productive. You can make your life more beautiful. Talking about your garden, you can have better relationships. You can feel better about the relationships that you have. The worry just will melt away when you feel like, or when you are being precise, when you are asking for what you want out of those relationships and clarifying for yourself what that is and even why that is, you'll find your life goes along so much more smoothly. Oh, this is one of my favorite chapters. Say what you mean so you can find out what you mean. Act out what you say so you can find out what happens. Then pay attention. Note your errors, articulate them, and strive to correct them. So sometimes we do a little role play in our heads, and that is great, right? What do you want? How would that look? What would that look like? When you, in a business setting or in a sports setting, they call this visualizing, right? It's difficult to visualize speech, but you can act out those conversations. You can figure out what you really want to say and why and how precisely before you go into them. And one of the things that you'll find working this out before you start is where your errors are, which is what he says here. What you're wrong about, what you think you don't know, which is really, really important, that finding out what you don't know is really a key to being successful. Again, it's so crazy about everything, your business, your relationships, you know, how you take care of your car, all of those things knowing what you don't know, or more importantly, knowing that you don't know everything becomes really a key to success. And all of that can kind of get defined with this being precise in all of these things. Finally, confront the chaos of being. Take aim against a sea of troubles. Specify your destination and chart your course. Admit to what you want. Tell those around you who you are. Narrow and gaze attentively and move forward forthrightly. Okay, this is so important. Admit to what you want. Tell those around you who you are. Don't be afraid. Either the people around you will be on board and they'll help you get what you want and they'll like you for who you are, or they won't and they don't. And then it's time to move on. And it doesn't have anything to do with you personally. It doesn't have anything to do with who you are in a bad way. It has to do with surrounding yourself with people who want the best for you. And by admitting what you want and asking for what you want and showing people who you are and what you're capable of, you are going to find the people around you either rise to the occasion and they want the best for you, or you can let them fall away. And I know that's so painful. It is so painful. We talked about that, about friendships earlier too, right? But life is so short. It is so short. You want the people in your life to really want the best for you. And you want to feel the same. You want to feel the best for them, to have the best for them. You want the people in your life to be worth your time. I may have told you this earlier, but in another podcast, but I worked for a man who was very, very smart. And he had brought himself up by the bootstraps. He had literally done everything on his own, starting with this tiny little loan to build a fence and turning it into an empire of restaurants and construction companies. And sometimes people would ask him questions that he wouldn't answer. Like they would ask him for advice or his opinion on something. And it always sort of amazed me, like, why doesn't he? And he always found a way to get out of it. He would say, I don't know much about that. And I knew that he did. I mean, I was his partner, business partner. I knew all the things he knew. He was brilliant. And I asked him one day, why don't you do that? And he said, because I'm going to give out all this advice to people, or all this information to people, and they're probably not going to use it. They're not going to like what I say. They're not going to like my idea. They're not going to like me. And I value their friendship, and I don't want to put myself in that position. And reading this chapter makes me think, you know, if you really valued those people, if they really valued you, then honesty and precision and all of that stuff would be key to not destroying your relationship, but to improving your relationship. So really interesting how this comes into. And one of the things that I think is most important about this book is that it applies to your life across the board. Okay, my friends. That is the wrap on Jordan Peterson's book, 10 Rules for Life, 12 Rules for Life. Rule number 10, be precise in your speech. As you move forward through your day today and go and forever, think about that. Are you being precise in your speech, in your aim? Have you defined what you want in your life? Have you defined success? Have you defined failure? What can you do? What little steps can you take to be more precise, that's going to move you forward in your life with clarity and joy and success and all the things that make life better. There's your challenge for the week. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Be precise in your speech, and I will see you for rule number 11 next week.